Good morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord together this morning. Well, let's spend some time in prayer this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you this morning and be in your presence, and we can rejoice as we remember Palm Sunday. We just remember the time our Savior came into the city of Jerusalem, and as he came in, there were shouts of joy, but in his heart he knew what was to come before him, that he would have to endure the beatings and endure the cross, but he knew what was ahead. He knew of the good news of the resurrection, the good news of our sins being put on the cross and died for. And we give great rejoicing for that this morning. Lord, we continue to pray for our church and the needs of our members, as was mentioned this morning. And Lord, we think of our shut-ins that always that can't be with us, Lord, that you would continue to minister that to them, to Jane and Dawn and Lillian and others, that just it's hard for them to get out, Lord, that they would also feel your presence during this time. Lord, we pray for healings in people's lives. Lord, we lift up this family that has just lost a loved one at Starved Rock. We don't know the situation, Lord, but we know that you are dear to, and you are near the family at this time. Oh, Lord, for those that struggle with the issue of not knowing whether they should continue to live, Lord, we pray that you would intervene for those that have those struggles in their life. Lord, we pray for those people in Russia, families that have lost this tragic event of lives murdered, taken away, Lord. We pray for those families for healing in their lives. Lord, we pray for our world today, for the issues of war that is happening in the Middle East and in Ukraine and so many different parts, Lord. We know that you came for peace, not war. And we pray, Lord, that you would minister to families in those countries that are without, some who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Oh, Lord, that you would provide. Oh, God, thank you that you have provided us with a Savior. And we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ and his gift of eternal life that he has given to us. Now be with us as we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is found in the book of Matthew. Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. It can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1531, beginning in verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." May God bless the reading of his word today. Amen. Amen. You know, we come to Palm Sunday, and the thing about Palm Sunday, or anything that we study in Scripture, is that we kind of know the story already, right? This is not our first Palm Sunday, is it? How many Palm Sunday services have you been to? I always wonder, as a pastor, you know, I was in the church in Indiana for 12 years, and every Palm Sunday I thought, well, how do I preach Palm Sunday a different way? Because it's there. So we know the story already, but I want us to realize that Jesus, and especially Jesus' disciples, didn't know the story. This was their first and only Palm Sunday. Just before the reading of Matthew 20, before this scripture passage, in Matthew 20, verses 17 to 19, Jesus has told his disciples the third time that he was about to die and what was about to happen. Third time. Jesus knew what was ahead. He knew what was ahead. And so he begins by being on the road again. It says, on the road to Jerusalem. And as I think about that, if you've watched some of The Chosen, you realize that Jesus and his followers were on the road a lot. How many of you like road trips? Do you remember? Yeah, going on a road trip, right? And remember the days where you go on a road trip and you didn't have a thing to punch in and you actually had a map or an atlas, right? Do you remember? Kids, do you know what an atlas is? Yeah, they're shaking their heads. I don't think so. No, I'm just joking. Kind of, yeah. Well, Jesus had many road trips with his disciples. And this one was going to be a little different. This one had been planned from eternity past. This was a road trip with his disciples that God had planned many years before. We read of the quote in Zechariah 9:9 of Jesus coming riding in on the donkey. So for many years, this road trip had been planned. And as Jesus comes in, we got to remember, it's going to lead to a very public demonstration. Now before this, if you remember Jesus, when he would do a miracle or any kind of event with his disciples, he'd always tell them, shh. Be a little quiet about this. Sometimes he didn't want the news. It wasn't ready for it to be spread on. Jesus was ready for it now. This was going to be a public demonstration. This was not a thing to keep quiet. It was planned from eternity past, and it was always in God's plan. So Scripture says in Matthew, let me tell you, first of all, the reading of Jesus coming into Jerusalem as king is found in all four Gospels. It's found in Matthew 21, Mark 11, Luke 19, and John 12. And I'm going to highlight in a little bit how some of those are a little different and how it was seen maybe by each author of the writing just a little different. What we do know is that Jesus was coming in for the Passover. Remember, that was a time of celebration of the Jewish people being released when they were under bondage. And they were coming in to celebrate that. It is said, as I was doing some research on this, that Jerusalem population would be five times higher during this time. 5 times higher as they came in. And if you think about it, they would do the sacrificial lamb. They would say one lamb per family, and it was estimated that there would be over 250,000 lambs that were slaughtered at that time during the temple. Could you imagine if we still lived in those Old Testament traditions today, and every one of you had to bring a lamb today, and we had to meet in the parking lot, you know, and we had it all arranged, and we'd be, we shouldn't say slaughtering lambs, but that's what would happen, right? So Jesus is coming in. He's coming in with his whole followers and his disciples. And we read in Matthew, he instructs 2 of his disciples to go to the village ahead and to find a donkey tied there and untie the donkey, bring it to me. And if anyone says to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. We don't read, and as I was reading in all the texts of the Gospels, this story, we don't know who the disciples were. I've heard some people think maybe it was Peter and John. Remember, John was the guy that said, I am the disciple Jesus loves. There was the upper room event that happened before that when Jesus had the dinner with his disciples. And it was John and Peter that prepared the upper room. So there's thinking maybe it was those 2 disciples that maybe prepared and went to get this donkey. Now, as you read this, there's no argument, right? You don't hear the disciples say, why? Right? Jesus says to do it, and they what? They do it. And I think even when you read through a lot of scripture of Jesus and his disciples, they trusted Jesus. Jesus would say, go and do this, throw your net on this side of the boat, do whatever, you know, take these 5 fish and 2 loaves, you know, and just trust me, trust me. He was told to take an unbroken animal. And this unbroken animal, this colt, listen to this, who remains under the hands of the Messiah, who controls nature. A colt has never been ridden before, and as Krista did a great job in this on the children's message, you know, bringing in something like that, it's going to buck. But you have the creator of the world, the Messiah, who, remember, he controlled nature. Remember, he would say the storms to be quiet, and they would be quiet, so he could now ride in on this donkey. And as the disciples go, Jesus gives these instructions, say that the Lord needs them. Say that the Lord needs them. And I was thinking about that. Does God really need them? Could God have not just produced a colt right away? Does he really need them? God, and I think this relates to us, God needs us. He needs our resources that we have. He needs our gifts and our abilities that we have to spread the gospel. I'll put it this way, God needs your donkey. God needs your donkey. They'll take it a different way, okay? But God can use what we give him, our resources, for his glory. And as we look around the church, you know, as I heard the choir and Dick sing, boy, we got some great resources in this church. And children's message and Lois. I mean, this church has been blessed. And Jesus says, the Lord needs them. And so what was mentioned many years ago in Zechariah 9:9 is fulfilled. Say to the daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus comes riding in on a donkey. He comes riding in showing humility. He could have come riding in maybe as a conquering general with a horse, but that's not what's going to take place. He was not coming in to conquer Rome, as maybe many of the disciples, maybe in the back of their minds thought, or many of the followers were thinking, is this the Messiah who's going to lead us out of bondage, out of Roman rule? No, instead, Jesus comes what? Riding in with humility, but with dignity, right? Luke says, and I love this in Luke, Luke says that he comes in peace, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So as Jesus makes this entrance in, what happens? The garments, it says, the cloaks are spread, put on the donkey for Jesus to sit on. The spreading of the garments, the spreading of the cloaks. Also, as Krista symbolized, you know, is to show that we want to accept Jesus as he comes in. And we honor him by doing this. It was also a sign of surrender. People would lie their cloaks as saying, I'm the surrendering to this person. Saying, you can trample on my clothes. I'm surrendering to you. It's a recognition of loyalty. And shouldn't we all be doing that? Surrendering to Jesus? Surrendering to him all that we have? And then there's the branches. In Matthew it says, they cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. It's in the book of John that we actually read palm branches. But they're spread on the road. They're a sign of victory. They're a sign of success. It goes back to the story of a story that was told of the Maccabees brothers. When Israel was under Syrian threat, they were able to destroy the Syrians. And as they came into the city, many years, hundreds of years before that, they were celebrated with palm branches. And as they come into the city, Matthew says the crowds that followed began to shout, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, which means save us now. Save us now. The people at that time felt so much under bondage, they wanted to be saved right now. They thought maybe this was the Messiah that would save us now. They were looking for salvation. They were crying for deliverance. And Jesus received it, and he actually encouraged it. Jesus received the worship, and he encouraged the worship. In Luke 19, it says this in verse 37, when he came near the place where the road goes to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. But then, there were some other responses that we need to look at as Jesus came in. In verse 10 of Matthew 21, it says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. Or another word to use is they were moved. They were moved. And they began to ask the question, who is this? Who is this person? And you've got to remember, Jesus' followers and disciples knew who Jesus was. But the rest of the crowd that came from all over to celebrate the Passover didn't realize who this was. Who is this? It says the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And I believe at that time, some people were stirred or moved, and they were moved towards him. But there were others who were moved away. Some moved towards him, others moved away. The question we need to ask this morning is, how will this move you? How will this move you? Are we moving towards Jesus, or are we moving away? Now in Luke, listen to this response, Pharisees' response, Luke 19:39. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Rebuke them. And here's Jesus' reply. "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." If they keep quiet, the stones will begin to cry. I wonder what that would have been like, to hear the stones cry out. But also as he approached, it says in verse 41, he saw Jerusalem, he saw the city, and he says he wept. He wept over it. And he said this, "Even if you had known on this day that it would bring you peace, but it is now hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side, and they will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone to another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Only if you had known, Jesus says. It had been predicted, but still they didn't know. This destruction of the walls is referred to as what happened in AD 70 when the temple was torn down. And then we hear of, in the book of John, the disciples' understanding. In verse 16 it says, "At first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him." They didn't understand. It was only after the resurrection, when their eyes were opened and they began to understand why this happened. What was it all about? John continues on to talk about many people following Jesus after he had performed the sign, and the sign was the raising of Lazarus. Many went out to meet him. Many of those people were looking for signs. Is this the person we should follow? But the Pharisees, it says, here's their response in John 12. "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." They wanted to stop this. This is where the plan went into action. We need to do something about this Jesus of Nazareth. The plan of his crucifixion and his death. Look how the whole world has gone after him. And that was the religious leaders of that day who thought that, who didn't quite understand it. Now we come to today, and like I said, we have the book, we have the stories, we have the gospel, we have the truth. And even then, sometimes we don't understand everything. And as I mentioned, I think the other Sunday, we will not understand everything. There will be scriptures that we'll have to struggle with. But as we celebrate Palm Sunday, do we understand what Jesus was planning to do for us. He came, he was celebrated, he was worshiped as he came into Jerusalem, but he knew what was ahead. He knew that this wasn't going to last, right? This Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In a days ahead, would be the chant would be what? Crucify him, crucify him. From praise to bring death. So I guess our challenge is, in our lives, is what do we do with it? Are we praising God in our lives? Are we glorifying him? Even in the midst of maybe struggles that happen personally to us, in a time of illness in our own lives or our family's lives, how do we see Jesus? Is he our King and is he our Lord? Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that this event of Palm Sunday was prearranged, was ordained before the creation of time, that someday our Savior would come into Jerusalem. And cloaks would be put on the ground, and branches would be waved and put on the ground. And the words of Hosanna, save us, would go forth. And some would gladly praise who Jesus was and is. And some would reject. Some would reject. And then not much time later, we'd hear the words, crucify him, crucify him. Oh God, thank you that Jesus came as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that he came for us because he loves us. He came to put the sins of mankind upon him that would be crucified, died, put away, so that Christ's righteousness would be seen in each one of us who proclaim to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So I pray this morning that if you're here, sitting in the pew, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you would turn to him. That you'd be one of those that would be waving the branches this morning and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save me, save me. For we have a loving God who turns to those who repent and turn to him. And he wants to save us. And so, Lord, we open our lives to you this morning. Thank you for that salvation. Thank you that we now, as we go and prepare for this holy week, Lord, as we come to the table on Monday, Thursday, that we remember the words of your body and being broken and your blood being shed. And as we think of Good Friday and we think of what our Savior went through for us on the cross of Calvary. And then as we come Easter Sunday, we rejoice that the grave is empty, that the tomb is empty, that our risen Lord is risen. Oh Lord, thank you for the message of this salvation. May we go forth as your servants, loving you and spreading this good news. We pray all this in the name of our Savior. Amen.